As I mentioned earlier, today is the baptism of Jesus Sunday in the church calendar. And that's a big deal. And so it's great to be able to today think and pray and listen and reflect on baptism. And so that's why I've entitled the sermon, Up with Baptism. Up with Baptism. But thinking about baptism, I thought, well, up and, you know, down. We are immersionists here at First Baptist, but up with baptism. And the last baptism we had here was in November. Some of you were there. Hildegard got baptized in November right before Advent, and that was an exciting moment for our church. It was an exciting moment for me. It was hopefully the beginning of many other baptisms in our congregation in the future. It's Epiphany, the season of Epiphany, and as if you were here last week, Bill Peake was preaching, and a couple of the themes that came through were being present to God, and then also paying attention. And Epiphany is 7 weeks for us to pay attention and be present to God. And so during the season of Epiphany, I would exhort you to be like the Magi, who came seeking Christ, who came seeking what new was to be revealed because of the birth of Christ. And it's interesting to note that when the Magi went seeking, they thought they needed to head to a palace, but really they needed to end up at a stable. And so even for us, as we continue to walk through Epiphany, maybe it's not heading to those palace places where you think you'll get the aha moment, but maybe it will be heading to those stable places, those places of humility, those places of brokenness, those places of poorness. And even as Brittany was sharing this morning, it made me think, probably some of those places are the places like the House of Refuge where God might invite us to during Epiphany to hear from him. So God is on the move. He's revealing things to us. He wants to reveal things to us. So this ought to keep us on the edge of our seats, waiting, watching, praying, paying attention to what God wants to reveal us during Epiphany. But this morning, it's the baptism of the Lord Sunday, and so let's talk about baptism. Over the past 8 years, I've really been challenged to reflect on what the church offers to our world that people can't get anywhere else. Have you ever thought of that? What do we offer as the people of God, a worshiping community week to week? What do we offer an unbelieving world or people outside the four walls of this church week to week? What do we offer them? Are we anything more than another nonprofit social organization in Edmonton? Like, let's think about the Kiwanis Club. I'm very fond of the Kiwanis Club because as a young tyke, I would participate in the Lethbridge Kiwanis Festival on a yearly basis in Lethbridge. And the Kiwanis members worked hard to bless our community each year by putting on this Kiwanis Festival and allowing young, aspiring musicians like myself to display our talents, humble and broken as they were. So there I was, taking my Suzuki violin lessons, playing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and 17 variations of that for crowds that were probably bored to tears, but this was a gift of the Kiwanis Club, a great social organization wanting to bless our community. But the challenge for us as the church is, are we just another Kiwanis Club option out of the array of many social organizations in the city? I'll let you answer that in your mind or even in conversation during the week or maybe even around the lunch table today. You might think, wow, is our church just another Kiwanis Club or not? But I'd like to point out that maybe one thing that we do offer that's pretty different from other organizations is baptism. And I'm not going to quibble about mode of baptism, whether you believe in sprinkling or whether you're full immersion or whether you're 3 times immersion. We just recognize that baptism belongs to the church. It's one of our ordinances. It's one of the practices that Jesus commanded us to continue in the years and decades and centuries as we are being the church. So in a sense, I thought about it this week and I said, well, baptisms are us. You know, if one of the marquee things we wanted to put on our sign outside, it could be baptisms are us. No one else can do baptisms like us, especially Baptists who dunk people, immerse them, and bring them up again. They're unique to our faith. They matter. They're what we ought to talk about and consider as we try to be little Christ. That's what early Christians were called, little Christ, or people who are trying to follow Jesus. It's a unique gift that we offer to our city. So I want to say two things about baptism this morning that come out of our text in Mark chapter 1 and also in the lectionary text from Acts 19 today. In the Gospel of Mark, we hear the stories of baptism. And so the first thing I want to say is, be baptized with water, because our identity comes from water baptism. Be baptized with water. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus hears from God the Father his identity in baptism. And so I wonder, do we recognize the identity that can be declared to us during our baptism, or re-declared as we remember our baptism? Who am I is one of the biggest questions that we answer on a daily, well, perhaps on a daily measure in our lives. But as you go through different stages of your life, people are always asking you, what are you going to be? What are you going to be? Who are you? Who are you? And whether you're a young child or whether you're an older senior saint, you may have to think about, who am I? And I want to say that baptism answers that question in a great way. Our identity has substance. Our identity has depth. Because God also declares to us in our baptism, "You are my beloved. You are a son of God. You are my daughter." We're baptized into Christ. And as one writer puts it, we have all the possibility of sharing in the new creation that Christ brings. Through baptism, we have all been reborn in Christ, and in our daily return to our own baptisms, there is an inexhaustible source for the renewal and new beginnings of our lives. This quote was so rich to me this week. It reminded us to daily return to our baptisms. So I wonder, have you started your 2009 calendar in a ho-hum manner? Because this Sunday doesn't really allow us that option, does it? That's why I am so in like, I wasn't going to say in love, but I'm really in like with the church calendar. Because it reminds us of these high holy days, like the Baptism of Jesus Sunday, where we remember intentionally with the worldwide church that we are called and identified as sons and daughters of God. That's a big deal. Titus 3:4 says this, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." We're invited to get to know our identity, to embrace our identity through water baptism. The second thing I want to say is this: be baptized with the Holy Spirit, because our empowering presence comes from the Holy Spirit. I came up with a phrase: our ID, our identity, comes from the water baptism, but our EP, our empowering presence, comes from a Spirit baptism. The lectionary reading from Acts in chapter 19 is interesting to say the least. I won't read it all, but just this idea that Paul was interacting with new believers and he asked them if they'd been baptized and if they'd received the Holy Spirit, and they said, "No, we haven't received the Holy Spirit, we've received John's baptism." And then Paul said, "You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as well." And on hearing this, they were baptized again in the name of the Lord, And then Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied all together. There were about 12 of them. That's Acts chapter 19. Now, I've heard different interpretations of this second baptism idea. And when I was going through university, lots of my Pentecostal friends were laying hands on me, trying to get me to embrace this second baptism, Holy Ghost, tongue-speaking, woo-hoo-hoo, charismatic experience. And it was good. The more prayer, the merrier. That was great. But, you know, the Holy Spirit baptism is more than just tongues and prophetic words. I'm not saying it doesn't include that, but the most important part to me is how it follows up on Mark 1:8, where Jesus says, "I've baptized," or the verse says, "I've baptized you with water, but he," Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So what I'm saying is we can't talk about baptism as just a water baptism issue. We need to talk about it as both a water baptism and a spirit baptism issue. And when you read through the book of Acts, these people were on fire and excited for the kingdom of God because the Holy Spirit had descended upon them. And they hadn't just come from a "your best life now" seminar. This was the Holy Spirit descending upon the people of God and empowering them, being that empowering presence to be a people of courage, a people of faith, a people of declaration. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up, this ordinary fisherman, but after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he says, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit he has poured out, this that you both see and hear." So when the Holy Spirit was poured upon the people of God, it was a seeing issue, it was a hearing issue. There was action and movement. And even as you read through Mark, the Gospel of Mark, you'll find it's quite a moving storytelling of the life of Jesus. So be baptized in water. Be baptized in the Spirit. Because we need this Spirit living and moving in us. We need this Spirit alive. I was thinking about it this week. Spirit-free Christianity is not an option for us. In fact, it's quite ridiculous. It's like my sugar, 12 tablespoons of sugar Coke drinking friends who look at me when I'm drinking a diet caffeine-free, sodium-free, sugar-free Coke, and they say, "Ryan, what's the point? Really, what is the point?" And it's the same thing with spirit-free Christianity. What's the point? If we're just going to be good people, or if we're just going to be culture fighters or moralistic, uptight people, what's the point? The Holy Spirit is alive and well, and he challenges us to be a people who proclaim the good news, who are a sign and foretaste of the good news of the kingdom. So that has personal implications. Maybe as we go to our schools or our neighborhoods or our jobs this week, what does it mean to be these kind of people? Or maybe it has community life implications. As we continue to participate and partner with MCN, we're starting our MCN ESL partnership this week. As we continue to partner with them, or the Mustard Seed, or even hearing again from Brittany this morning about this House of Refuge ministry, how can we be these signs and foretastes of the kingdom? This is a personal call. This is a corporate call. How are we speaking on behalf of God in the world? So it's probably no surprise that I simply want to challenge us today to be baptized in water, to be baptized in the Spirit. If you've already been baptized in water or Spirit, then today's a great day to just intentionally recall that water or Spirit baptism. And for many of us, it happened on the same day. The Holy Spirit blessed us during our water baptism. So maybe today or in this week ahead, take some time to recall the blessings of your baptism. Who was there? Or who encouraged you to take those steps? Or what was it like when you were either sprinkled or coming up from those waters of baptism? What lingers in your heart and your mind and your soul, even to this day? And maybe it'll make you actually make a call this week, or write a card to someone and say, hey, it was the baptism of the Lord Sunday, and I was just reminded of you and how you were such a blessing to me during my journey to baptism. Share your stories. Share your stories with one another. It's been great for me to hear some great stories of faith and God stories amongst our congregation even over the past couple of weeks. And so let's keep on sharing those stories and making that a continuing trademark of who we are. In closing, I want to point to the bowls and the chalice that I have on the communion table. Because what I want us to do in order to just be a little more active in remembering our baptisms or thinking about baptism is we're going to pass around, some of us will just get these bowls going. They have water in them. The chalice has water in it as well. And just dip your finger in the bowl, and if you want to reaffirm your baptism, some traditions dip their fingers in the bowl and do the sign of the cross on their forehead, or maybe something like that. If that, you know, is a symbol of life or a symbol of longing in your heart for baptism, then please do that, or just touch the water and, I don't know, sprinkle it on yourself. We're not making this holy ritual. I'm not wanting it to be this holy ritual. I just want it to be a realistic symbol of us recalling, reaffirming, or even pointing ourselves towards baptism. And if you haven't been baptized, that's okay. That's okay. But you can dip your fingers in the water too. Maybe as a sign of recognizing that water and Holy Spirit and relationship with Jesus, it is meaningful. And so I'm just going to say a short prayer over this gift of water. And then Sandy and Laura and Moira are going to help me just get these bowls moving through the congregation as we continue to pray. I was talking with one of my Anglican colleagues this week, and I said, I'm going to do this, brother. Your tradition does this better than me. What should I do? What should I do? And so he shared with me this simple prayer of blessing from the Alternative Book of Services. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage. Baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. Now sanctify this water, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Us amongst you, and invite you just to pass that row by row, and if you want to dip your fingers in that and make the sign of the cross on your forehead, or just dip it and feel the water and recognize the symbol of renewal and healing and hope that comes through this water, please do. Care his belovedness to us. Again, a simple challenge to consider baptism. If you haven't been water baptized, baptisms are us. We do baptisms. And there's no pressure to be baptized. You might say, God, do you want me to be baptized? And maybe he'll be silent and won't answer in a resounding way. But maybe he may nudge your heart and say yes. Consider it. Pray through it during Epiphany if he's speaking that way. Perhaps you'll be like Samuel and you'll say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. As you're praying, maybe it's just love imagery. We're torn apart during Jesus' baptism. Can you imagine Jesus wanting to, or God the Father wanting to speak to you as his beloved, saying, you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So this morning, as you're praying and reflecting, be open to this furious love of God that tears apart the heavens to speak to us, to minister, to speak words of identity, to speak words of empowering presence to us. So as the bowls continue to come around, I'll invite you to silently pray and to remember, reflect on God's great gift, and reflect gracious God, we do want to take the posture of Samuel and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And whether you're speaking words of invitation saying, yes, be baptized, or whether you're speaking words of belovedness saying, you are my beloved daughter, or you're my beloved son, in you I am well pleased, we want to receive that. Joys that you might be calling us to. Help us to be open, a posture of openness, recognizing that your spirit is on the move, recognizing that Jesus is alive. And we pray that as you continue to speak to us during Epiphany, that your servants would not only listen, but then also take humble steps of obedience in the direction that you call us into. We pray these things in the name of the living Christ. Amen.